The second reading, it's from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 26 to 28. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head." Okay, there you go. Let's see, I have a few things here. All right, I have a parade magazine from last Sunday. So, Dave, Sandy, humans have a plastics problem. Anybody remember a movie called The Graduate? Exactly, Margie. Plastics. And here's Dustin Hoffman, you know, it's The Graduate, listening to this fellow saying, "That's what you need to get into, plastics," whether it's 1950s or 1960s. How many of you did get into plastics? Okay, nobody here. I know a number of people who did, and they made big profits off of plastics. So, boy, did you miss out. Yeah, well, maybe I can read this to you. Soda bottles, sandwich bags, straws, they fill the world's pantries, oceans, and landfills. And unlike organic materials, they don't decompose. There are more than 6.3 billion tons of plastic waste out there, endangering wildlife, waterways, and our own health. And no, recycling is not the only solution. Just 14% of plastic is collected for reuse. It's no wonder that environmental experts say kicking our single-use plastic habit is an ideal first step towards saving our planet. Right? Sandy's saying yes. And on the front cover, too much plastic. And here is, I think it's a walrus with a plastic bottle in its mouth. So there you go. Very, very current. When I first met Catherine, besides being goofy together and playing tiddly wink winks and all that other stuff, one of the things that really impressed me about Catherine is that she said she was a part of an environmental group at Old Trail School there in Ohio. Earth Day, of course, began in 1970, April 22nd, April 1970. And those trees that Catherine planted there at Old Trail are now big trees today, aren't they? You go back to the school, and there they are. You planted those trees, was it 1970? Or yeah, so there you go, right at the beginning of Earth Day. Those trees planted today, little Harvey might be one doing these trees, possibly. And then as you grow up, you can look at your tree and see what's happened to it. Well, today is Environmental Awareness Sunday, and we dedicate at least one Sunday each year to remind ourselves of that Earth Day, which began in 1970. And by the way, next year, 2020, it'll be the 50th anniversary, and there are a number of groups already getting ready for that 50th year, which, as Don shared in the scripture reading, can be understood as a jubilee year, the year of the jubilee, the 50th year. The time that we take each year, it's to remember and honor and to take care of our earth. The land, the water, and the air we breathe in order to ensure life for generations to follow. There is a religious tradition dating back before 1970 called the Rogation Days, which are the 3 days of prayer which precede Ascension Day. What is Ascension Day? Anybody know? Yes, Diane knows. Well, it's the bodily ascension of Jesus into the heavens. And this takes place in another month, actually, the 30th of May this year. But it's those 3 days of prayer leading up to the bodily ascension of Jesus. And those are 3 days leading to the ascension. Those are called Rogation Days. But the evolution of the term Rogation has come to mean of the earth. And Rogation, without the days part, it's April 25th this year. It matches more with Earth Day, April 22nd. But the word Rogation comes from the Latin rogare, and it means, it's a verb to ask, beseeching God for the to appease God's anger and wrath, and also for the protection from all of Earth's calamities, you know, storms and winds and anything that could destroy people and their crops. But it has to do with evolving into Earth Day and springtime and protecting our Earth. In the ancients, they offered special prayers to God asking for a blessing on the Earth and all those who tend to it. The Rogation language, and you'll find that in a lot of the hymnals, it reminds us of days when there were so many generations where farming was so essential. But today, farming, you won't find a lot of millennials going into agribusiness. The average age of farmers today is 58. Millennials know how quickly a rainstorm or freeze or any natural disaster could ruin an entire year's work and reduce corn or cabbage or cauliflower to ruin. And so for us, these dangers are not as visible because much of our activity does not connect us to the earth. However, we will be affected by it because we must still buy our produce at the grocery store, and we will complain, as I have, if the corn is tough, you know, or if the grapefruit tastes tart, or if the food costs rise suddenly. Many of you may recall that my first church was located in a little town called Lake Odessa, Michigan. Lake Odessa is on a lake, Jordan Lake. Odessa is the township. They were always fighting about what to name the town, so they averaged things out, Lake Odessa, you see. That's how a farming community makes these choices. It's really a farming community, not a resort community. And half of those folks in that Lake Odessa congregational church, they were farmers. A quarter factory workers, they worked in Lansing and commuted. And the last quarter, they were professional people in the town, including teachers, a physician, a chiropractor, a psychologist, and a number of business owners. One of the farmers invited Catherine and me to Sunday dinner about every 6 months. And on one visit, he took me out on the tractor to do some farming. He invited me over the next day to bring the crop to market. We drove the truck. It was full of soybeans to the crop station. Does anybody know what a crop station is called? I don't know what you call it, but I called it a crop station, big silo. And the manager came quickly to our truck window. I still remember this. And the farmer said something like, "I've got a load of soybeans for you to weigh in, and I brought my minister here just to keep you honest." And the manager, I still remember this gentleman, he was smiling, and he said something like, "I'm glad that you have your minister along because you're going to need him. The price of soybeans took a real hit overnight, and your payment, it's going to be a lot less than expected. And with that news, my farmer friend replied, no problem. Last time I received more, it all evens out in the long run. And all the time he was smiling. He was smiling. And the hit was not a little, the hit was a lot. I asked him, why weren't you more upset? And he told me that he was a pragmatist, a realist, and that there were plenty of times when he brought the crop in expecting less and he received more. And he said that there were times when he didn't have any crop at all to bring in. He said that he was thankful for all of the blessings of the crop and the land, and was thankful for his family and all of his children and for life itself. And he added, you know, John, it isn't the price that matters, because this is always changing. What matters is being aware of and attentive to my work and to my farm, and to my family. And he said that he keeps a reminder, and I was in his office. He keeps a reminder there on his desk with just one word. And what do you think that word is? It says, today. Today. He knew how to keep his own Sabbath, as many of you do too. Catherine and I have often commented on it. You may not even realize you're doing this, but you are. If any of you go off somewhere, like to Hawaii, maybe, or to Florida, or to some sort of retreat. Nancy has been on retreat, I know. I'm going on retreat this week. The thing about it is that you need to do it. And this particular farmer said that's what he did. Where did he go with his wife? Acapulco. 2 months. Every winter, not during crop season. For at least half of the people at the First Congregational Church of Lake Odessa, rogation mattered. And today, as more and more farms go bankrupt and are sold to big business, as condos take over the countryside and fields and pastures are subdivided, rogation must matter more. I have a soil stewardship pamphlet, and it says this about our environment. The bottom line is that the earth is suffering. But whether you lean left or right, whether you are an unrepentant industrialist or a militant tree hugger, chances are you still think of land as a resource, one to be protected or one to be profited from, but either way as something inert with no rights or wishes beyond those of its owners. Throughout history, those with the land have the power, because as their possession, they can choose to do with it whatever they want. The owner says, let there be a subdivision, and there will be a subdivision. Or the owner says, no trespassing, keep out, and there will be private property or a private country club. It is the will of the owner that determines the use of the land. And it is a rare owner whose thoughts never turn to the dollar value of the land. Well, my farmer friend understood something about his land, which is actually very biblical, and it can be found in the 25th chapter of Leviticus, that scripture. Don shared a portion of the law of Moses, notions of land ownership, they go topsy-turvy. Speaking through Moses, God says to the people, the land is not yours, and it never was yours. You are all tenant farmers as far as I'm concerned, and you have my permission to work the land for 6 years in a row. Whatever you make by using my land, okay, it's yours to keep, but on the seventh year, you will call it a Sabbath year for my land, by giving my earth a chance to take a breather. That sabbatical weekday well, and every seventh year. It applies to people too. Educators and ministers, they do this. Would that Sabbath rest be required in all workplaces? I would hope so, but no, it is not. Just imagine if wherever you worked, this was a part of that work. Creature and creation all need a break. But that's easier said than done. How many of us can just sit back and watch our field or yard in neglect for a year? In our world, there is not much payoff for time off, whether our property or ourselves. We need to increase production, or the competition will beat us out. No time for time off. Well, in the fall of last year, Catherine and I hired a local landscaping company to trim, spray, fertilize, plow, plant, and remove the waste, though at no small cost. I'm lousy at outdoor work. Just ask Catherine. You can nod now. And we needed help. As I look over the work that was accomplished 6 months ago, it is already apparent that new growth and new challenges are arriving on the land. Another thing we have discovered in our so-called home ownership with a bank, oh, I dream. Dowd and Bank cooperatively own only the topsoil and the house structure and not anything underneath. Who owns below the house in the recesses of the earth? And how far down do they own it? Does it go down 6 feet, 10 feet, a mile? I thought when you bought the property, you owned that property down to the center of the earth. No, you don't. You just own the topsoil. I guess you can drill for oil right under the house. Is that true or not? Well, I went on a little discovery to find out who does own down deep. I still don't know. The county clerk doesn't know. In the end, what I do know is that creatures are mortal and all will eventually be dead. So who in the long run owns the land? Therefore, knowing that our mortal ownership of anything is just a temporary thing, why not take a breather? It can be frightening for any of us who are so accustomed to going to work. Statistically, we've heard what sometimes happens to marriages when one or the other retires. There is even a statistic about new retirees dying within the year. A friend and colleague of mine served his last church for 30 years, and then at the age of 72, he retired. 1 year later, he died of a massive heart attack while packing his car for a trip. No wonder my parents worked into their 80s. There lies the recipe. You have to balance work and play. You have to balance labor and repose, because this is biblical. Rest along the journey. The destination is not retirement. The destination is the journey. After working six days, take a Sabbath. After working 6 years, take a year off. Do this for an entire life and enjoy the Jubilee. Retire from this thing, move into your next thing. Keep going. Unfortunately, not everybody can take that day off or that year off. Things just don't work like that in our country. However, we shouldn't be afraid of challenging anything that separates us from God, from others, or from ourselves. Our worth is not dependent upon the job we do or the amount of money we make. We are capable and we are worthy because we're human, made in the divine image, which is likewise true of the earth, this land that gives us our food, our water, these trees that clean the air for us to breathe, all these green and growing things that bless our bodies with their beauty. We join with all creatures who have rights and privileges and responsibilities before God. While the vote gave corporations rights, just like people have rights, what about creation, the environment, the land? Let's give the land a vote too. The land has rights and privileges and responsibilities before God. The Ten Commandments originally were 9. The tenth, to keep the Sabbath, was added during the Babylonian captivity of the Hebrew people, and its purpose was to maintain Jewish identity. The ancient Jews realized that the days needed to be numbered, and that out of the 7 days, one day must be set aside as sacred, a sacred holy day for God. The Sabbath day commandment and later the Sabbath year commandment are both of utmost significance to any Jew because they provide meaning and attentiveness to life, giving dignity to human worth while recognizing that God is the creator of all things. The earth does not belong to us. It has its own dignity, its own holiness, its own life with God. When the Sabbath comes, it comes for all God's creatures and all God's creation. Each of us is meant to rest on a regular basis so that we can stop what we are doing, pay attention to the world and all of life's gifts, and consider who we are and for what purpose. So I'll conclude with a reading by Chief Luther Standing Bear. And he was a member of the Lakota tribe, which is now known as the Sioux. This was written in the early 20th century. He says this: the Lakota was a true naturist, that is, a lover of nature. He loved the earth and all things of the earth, the attachment growing with age. The old people came literally to love the soil, and they sat or reclined on the ground with a feeling of being close to a mothering power. It was good for the skin to touch the earth, and the people liked to remove their moccasins and walk with bare feet on the earth. Their teepees, they were built upon the earth, altars made of the earth. The birds that flew in the air came to rest upon the earth, and it was the final abiding place of all things that lived and grew. That is why the old Indian still sits upon the earth instead of propping himself up and away from life-giving forces. For him, to sit or lie upon the ground is to be able to think more deeply. He can see more clearly into the mysteries of life when he is on the ground. Kinship with all creatures of the earth, sky, and water, these are real principles. For the animal and bird world, there existed a brotherly feeling that kept the Lakota safe among them, and so close did some of the Lakotas come to the feathered friends that in true brotherhood they all spoke a common language. The old Lakota was wise. He knew that man's heart away from nature becomes hard. He knew that lack of respect for growing living things soon led to lack of respect for humans, too. Amen.